bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you, asking, Lord, that you fill us with your Spirit and help us, Lord, to understand the words that you have given us to look at and to understand the way you want us to see your will in our lives. I pray, O God, as we look at your word, that you will not only enlighten us, but help us, Lord, that we will know it, and its true meaning through and through, looking for you, because we know you are drawing nearer and nearer every day. I pray, O God, that our hearts and minds are open and receptive to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. May be seated. There was a family that went to church once in a while, and they wanted everybody to feel that they were quite good and that they were Christians. They claimed to be Christians because, after all, you don't have to go to church all the time to be a Christian, so they said. And we don't miss church as a Christian unless it's for something important. But this family came once in a while, and therefore they felt they were doing God's will, and they wanted everybody to see that they were good people. Now notice I didn't say Christians, although they felt that being good was all that was needed. And so one Sunday, as they came to church, they stopped at the door because they had had a tough week. And the mother said to the children, remember now, if anyone asks you about your dad, he does not swear and he does not drink. Okay, we'll remember that. And I want you to remember too, we always say our prayers before we eat. The children said, okay, we'll remember that. And then there's one last thing. If anybody asks you, remember, your mother does not watch Desperate Housewives. How many of us fit in that category? You know, maybe more than we think. As we look at these three portions of scripture that was read today, we look back into Isaiah and we find that God himself was speaking through Isaiah. And as he spoke through Isaiah, he told the people of Judah as well as the rest of the world that the day of reckoning was coming and the day of his wrath would come. We haven't seen that day yet, but we know it's in the very near future. And we know that what God has told Isaiah back there is what's told us in Revelation. And we see here in Isaiah, if you go back to Isaiah 63, and we see very plain there, who is this who comes from Edom? Edom came from Ishmael, if you study the history on that. And Bozrah is a capital of that area where Ishmael was, and they had very fine linens. And so this is where that you see that in verse 1. And then if you look into verse 2, who is this one who comes in glory, in his glorious apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I, the Lord, speak in righteousness, and I have mighty to save. Then the question comes, why is your apparel red? It's because he has been trotting the winepress, or the press of the wrath and anger of God against the people that would not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And it goes on, rest of that, to explain that very, very plainly. And as we look at that, God says, there was no one to help me. There was no one that would come on and do what I would want them to do to help me spread and to trample that winepress, or the fury of God against those that refuse to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We find then, we can look into Revelation chapter 19. And I think if you have your Bibles with you, look to chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. And it tells us there. Now remember, John received the revelation on the Isle of Patmos. And as he received this, Jesus spoke to him in person. And then they showed him a vision. He was taken up into heaven, and he was shown many of the things that was going to come upon the earth. And Christ talks throughout his 3 years here on earth of the things that's going to happen. When you start studying them more and more, you find he spoke probably a half or better of the time on earth of his second coming and the things that would come upon the world, how he is the vine of the world, how he is the shepherd of the sheep, and all of these things we see because the people of his day rejected him, but the people of today, many of them reject him too, and many of them are great pretenders. So we look in Revelation 19, starting at verse 11, we see Christ returning there. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Now we find in the picture language of Christ and of the disciples, and talking about giving the picture language so that the people would take and understand what's going on. You know, when Jesus was ascended up into heaven, we are told that the angels stood there and they told the disciples, why are you staring up into heaven? The same Jesus that went up from you will come again in the same manner that you've seen him go. And here it says he's coming on a white horse, or he's coming in purity, and he's coming in power. And so we see that. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Remember when Jesus was here on earth, he spoke to the Pharisees, and the two people come to him, and they says, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, who made me a judge? I have come in peace. I have come in love, showing you God's love and God's truthfulness and faithfulness, that if you believe I am the Son of God, you will have eternal life. And yet, we see all those that come to God through Christ Jesus, God says, you are my child. And the Holy Spirit enters us as we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. So we see this, that here in Revelation, and in faithfulness and truth and in righteousness, he judges and makes wars. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head was many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Go back to Isaiah, and it says, I trod the winepress of the fury of God against those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, and it is that blood that spots my garments. And he says, all my garments have been spotted because I have trod that wine press. And then we find too, as he goes on, and it says, in the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, because they are pure, followed Christ on the white horse, and out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, which is the word of God. And the word of God is one that can penetrate even to the dividing of spirit and marrow, even the discerns of the thought and the intent of your thought. That is the sharp two-edged sword, the word of God. And it does exactly that as we look at the word of God. And then he goes on, he says, out of his mouth goes his sword, and he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come in glory. He will come in judgment. He will come as a king, judging, not in love like he did the first time. He came showing his love. He came showing his mercy and grace, and yet people did not want to listen. And the people of that day didn't want to listen, and many people today don't want to listen. And we find that through it all, Christ has said, if you are for me, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, but if you are against me, then you will feel the wrath of God upon you. We can go back into chapter 14, and we find that there are two different times of glory, of the rapture, and of the rising of the dead that does not believe in Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 14 of Revelation, we can look at verses 14 and on. Behold, I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of God, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle and on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And this is the rapture, or the first resurrection. We can go back into 1 Thessalonians, and in there in chapter 4, starting at verse 13, Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, but those who are asleep in Christ will come first. They will not stay in the grave. They will be called out at the last trumpet, and when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first from their graves. And all of us that's left living here on earth will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, it tells us in Corinthians, as we read. And as we are changed, our mortal will put on immortality. Our corruption will be incorruptible. And what Paul is saying there is that you will not change after that. You will have gone from this physical life to a life eternal, either in heaven or in hell. In heaven, if you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you have a personal relationship with him, if you do not have aught against your brother or sister, if you are living for the Lord and he is living in your heart and in your life, if you do not forgive those who have forgiven you, and if you do not pray for those who misuse you, you will find then that you, if you don't have Jesus in your heart and in your life, the Holy Spirit is not living in you. And if the Holy Spirit is not living in you, then you will be condemned to the to Satan and to the wrath of God. And we find then, excuse me, as we go on to verse 17 and chapter 14 of Revelation, is the reaping of the unsaved. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had the power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. And if you were to measure that out, it comes out to something like 140 or 180 miles. Think of the blood of those who refused to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They will be forever, forever lost, forever separated from God, forever in torment, because they will be there. And they will not be resurrected until after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, which is 1,000 years here on earth. And we find that in Revelation also. We find that God has given us warning, and he has given us much warning. Paul in Corinthians has given us much warning, and he has told us how in the twinkling of an eye we will be changed and we will be like Christ when we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. When we go back into our scripture, what Jesus said, all those that God has given him, he will lose none, because they have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, because they refuse to worship Satan or anything that Satan does. The time is coming, and it is almost upon us, I believe, when we call it the end of the Gentile rule or the Gentile world, or the church age. And when that time comes, we will see great famines, great earthquakes, and many other things, wars going on. When that time comes and the famines come, it will come to us, and they will come and want to give you a mark so you can buy or sell. If you receive that mark in your right hand or in your forehead, you will have consigned yourself over to the devil himself. There is no way you can ever accept Christ, because you have consigned yourself over to Satan once you receive that mark. And Revelation talks about the anger of God that will be poured out upon those who have received the mark and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, who is being sent by God himself. We see in John chapter 3, we can go back just a couple of verses there, or a couple of pages, and in chapter 3, starting at verse 15, it tells us very plainly what God has said and Jesus is speaking. And he says, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then, of course, John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you can take the word world out of there and put your own name in there. I can put Irvin in there. Harriet, you can put your name in there. John, you can put yours in. And that's the world that Christ is talking about. You see, God has taken and sent his son into the world, into our world, that we may be saved. And if we believe and we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, it says we will never perish, but we will have everlasting life. Then on verse 17, he goes on and he says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then in verse 18, it tells us those who are believe are saved already. Those who reject Christ or reject what Christ did on the coming to earth are condemned, and they're condemned already. Why? Because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. To me, it's very plain. To me, it says, Irvin, you are to tell people, to warn them that Christ is coming soon. And that when Christ comes, we find that we will see more and more of his glory. We will see more and more of what he has to say to us and how he has to say it. We can look into chapter 16 of John, and John is very plain in a lot of his writings, and he does not beat around the bush. He tells you exactly where he stands. In John 16, we look at verse 32 and 33, and Jesus is talking here about overcoming the world. And Jesus says, do you not believe in 31? Behold, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, because he was being ready to be crucified. And he says, it's already come that you will be scattered, each one to his own. He's talking about his disciples here, and will leave me alone, he's telling his disciples. Yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me. God was with him. And you see, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came down and gave him encouragement. When he prayed, he says, Lord, if there's any other way to forgive the sins of the world, do it. But if it's not, and I have to go through this agony because I know what's going to happen, I will do it because I want to serve God the Father and to reconcile the world back to you, Lord God. And so they gave him encouragement, and he went through to go through that. So then he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. You see, the peace that God gives us is not like the world gives us. We can have all kinds of trials and tribulations in our life, and many of us do. We have a lot of spiritual battles as well as physical battles. And in that, we can have the peace of God in our heart because God helps us not to be overly anxious, not to worry, not to take things upon ourselves that he is to handle. Remember, he says, man's ways are not my ways, and man's thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts, and my ways are much higher than your ways. But as we look to him, and as we look to him for guidance and for that peace, he gives us that peace even though we're in a very troubled world and a very troubled time. We can have troubles come upon ourselves. Many of them we probably create ourselves. Yet God will give us peace that we can go through these things, and we know that in the end they will work out hopefully for the best in our physical life, but praying in God that the Holy Spirit would not only send out his word and his word will not come back void. It will accomplish what it was set out to do. And if we pray in Jesus' name to show Jesus' glory in our lives, we will find that God will move in a mighty way in our lives. And in our lives, we would be able to show that God is living there and that we are his children. In 2 Timothy, we find there it tells us that the foundation of the Lord is with God, and as we trust in him, we trust in that foundation that will never be moved. We trust in that foundation which was set up before time began, and that the Lord knows those who are his. And as he knows those who are his, he will take care of them. He will watch over them, and he will put his angels around them to keep them from the evil one attacking that person or persons. We gather in church because we're told to not forsake the gathering together. And this is what we do in church. We not only realize what God has done for us, we want to praise him in song, we want to praise him in word, and we want to encourage and uplift one another. And in encouraging and in lifting, we know God has, in his mercy, has given us all that we have. And if we are in dire needs physically, we should be able to let the church body know, and the church body should be willing to help their brothers and sisters in the Lord. We find that very plain, and Jesus has said that we are to pray, not only pray, but to help those who are in need, keeping them in prayer as well as in physical need, if this is what the case calls for. So we see that so very plainly. Then we find too, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So how wonderful it is to know that our Lord, the one that came because God sent him. He came into the world. He's overcome the world. He hung on the cross for us. He was willing to die for us. He gave up the ghost for us. He had that 3 hours of darkness in which he fought Satan. He was dead and buried. He showed his victory by rising the third day, and he rose again, and therefore he overcame, and he has victory over death. Law did not keep him in the grave, but the love of God ascended him into heaven, and today he sends the Holy Spirit into the lives of each one of us as we trust in him and as we look to him for our guidance each day. We find then, too, that as we look at the scripture again, that everyone who sees the Son of Man and believes in him may have everlasting life. And as we see Christ in the words and in the songs that we sing and the words we speak, in the lives of those who have Christ as their Lord and Savior, we can know Jesus lives. He lives in our heart. That song goes, he lives today. He lives in my heart. Am I willing to let him out to live in such a way through me that people will see him in me and I become the light of the world or the salt of the earth as others see Christ in me? Praise the Lord that we would have be able to do this, and pray that God will lead us day by day. And as he leads us, we would see the salvation of souls, and we would see the saving grace of Jesus Christ, not only on those who we love and those who have Christ, but those who are pretending that they would repent, come to Christ, accepting him as their personal Lord and Savior. And we could know Scripture to help and encourage those along the step of the way, that we could not only encourage them, but give them encouragement each step of the way when they need it, keeping each other in prayer and keeping each other and upholding us before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O Lord, to do your will. And that, Lord, as you open doors before us, that we would go through them in faith and in confidence, knowing that you are our Lord, our Savior. You are the one that will teach us and give us the words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.